Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You are listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. It is really hot, and so if I sound a little quieter than usual, it's because I basically sweated out all of my voice through the day. But I am joined, as always, by Chris Sologi and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah. It is August 7th. I cannot believe we're already in August now.
We are. Surreal,
isn't it?
Does time even have meaning anymore?
Yeah. yeah. It will get meaning again once it stops, you know, being so hot all the time.
And maybe stop being 2020.
Yeah, and maybe stop being 2020. I would very much like that to hurry up and happen, because I hate this year and I want it to die. Yeah. In fact, I think when December 31st rolls around, we all should get out like our little plastic trash cans, put like a little fire at the bottom of it, and then write 2020 on a piece of paper, and then once midnight January 1st happens, just burn it. Symbolically, just kill it. That's at least what I'm planning on doing. But anyway, so stuff that happened this week, we had a bunch of things. We got, of course, more a fresh load from the COVID-19 dump truck. It's still having some serious issues with that crap, especially here in Georgia, because we've got a couple Georgia-related stories.
Don't we ever.
I actually don't know if my school district is actually if they're actually going to do in-school or not yet. Because if they are, I need to remember to stay the hell away from those particular areas.
Yes, exactly.
It's a shit show from top to bottom. And, you're going to find out just how much of one. But also, we got our usual assholery from He Who Shall Not Be Named, specifically their increasing of citizenship fees. We'll be talking about that. We also had a serious kind of a game changer that happened in one of the elections this week. Because, once again, there were more elections happen. Specifically, this one for the House of Representatives. And this one person basically managed to overturn someone who's been part of, like, a political dynasty.
Ooh.
And because the way that this whole district has been just hopelessly gerrymandered. It's basically a pretty safe win that they're going to end up going to D.C.
Wow.
When November rolls around. Also, apparently, there's a little bit of strife happening in the House of Murdoch because News Corp just lost one of the Murdoch kids. And his reasoning is basically because he's just kind of sick of how the editorial content is going.
Wow.
Yeah. The president is apparently trying to force TikTok out of the United States or have it sold by an American company.
We got a lot to unpack with that.
Oh yeah, there's a handful of reasons I can think of why. One of them involving K-pop fans, but...
Yep.
By the way, in the state of Washington, they just captured their first murder hornet. So, fun for everyone. Anyway, and of course we got a bunch of entertainment stuff to talk about, but before we do all that... Let's start off as we always do. Chris, what have you been up to this week?
It's been a busy week. Had some storms earlier in the week, but not too much since then. Temps are kind of nice right now. Like, I think it was about 80 today for the high.
Yeah, see, I pine for the days when 80 was the high.
Yeah.
Oh, Brandon, there was one day this week, it was only 68 for a high. It was fucking marvelous.
I hate you and I want you to die.
I felt like dying, but I still went outside for a walk because yeah. It was grand.
I will say here that over here, like, because it's been raining like a crap ton down here, the temperature will, you know, go down to like around 82 after a good rainstorm. The only problem is, well,
humidity.
Yep, and it's stifling, and you can barely breathe out there.
Yeah.
But anyway, as you were saying, Chris.
Yeah, by the end of the weekend, we're looking to go back up to about 90 by Monday. Mm-hmm. Then looks like some more rain goes back down, and rain, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
For now, it's nice weather, for the most part. Yeah, had some weird stuff. I forgot to mention this last week, but we had somebody call the cops after being asked to put a mask on.
Of course.
As soon as the cops got here, they left like a minute or two later once they realized what was going on. So yeah, that was the extent of issues there.
Yeah, but I'm sorry you guys have to deal with that stress. You know?
Like it was a day off, so I didn't really care. Yeah. I just heard about it afterwards, but that was probably a fun little thing. So watched Palm Springs on Hulu, the new Andy Samberg movie. It's really good.
How is that? Okay,
it's really fun
because it's on our list, and yeah. we need to carve out a couple hours to watch it.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty fun. So if you don't know anything about it, it's a time loop movie. Kind of a bit different than like a Groundhog Day because our main character here, Andy Samberg, knows why this is happening. He just doesn't know how to like break it. He kind of works his way to kind of accidentally bringing somebody else into it. Unfortunately, I'm not going to spoil anything else that really goes on, but they kind of go through the loop together. Start trying to figure out, like, what this means for them. And, yeah, like, Andy, his character is kind of at the point where he's been through this seemingly like thousands of days to the point where he's just decided to just do nothing. To be the layabout, because you know life is meaningless. He's stuck in this loop; he can't get out of it. And then you do find out that there's somebody else that kind of came into it, played by J.K. Simmons, who was kind of bitter enough about this that he like hunts him on occasion. Which kind of gets the ball rolling on getting this other person into it. So it's a pretty funny movie, especially the way they play off of this stuff. But yeah, it's well worth watching. Also continuing to watch The Chase in the second collection of episodes they have here, where they've changed up one part of it, where the final chase, when they're setting up how many steps the beast has to go through, the buzzers don't yell out the person's name. which is weird, and it's like just a loud voice going, you know, Joe! Andy! It's like, what the fuck is this? Which I'm sure makes it a little bit harder for the people answering the questions to maybe know exactly who's the one that gets it when they get it close, but I think they have other ways. Like the first episode, one guy hit the buzzer and the other one answered the question, and it's like, nope, that's not how it works, kind of thing. But, yeah, it's still fun to watch that, but I don't think it's too many more episodes, so hopefully they get some more in there. But, yeah, that's been largely it for watching stuff. But for games, been playing Fall Guys, the new game that's on PS4 and PC and is on PlayStation Plus for this month.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Didn't you stream that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go back and watch that.
It is MXC, but very silly. Because it is basically a 60-person battle royale. And usually like the first stage. They have like a series of stages that are these different like challenges. Some of them are team ones where they divide people up into two or three or four teams. Sort of give them different challenges, but the obstacle course ones are kind of the best stuff because it's like, hey, you get from, you know, the starting point to the end, and there's weird obstacles to get through. Some of the basic ones has like the door one, where you gotta burst through, the right doors, and the first couple have multiples. As you get towards the end, there's maybe just one. So you kind of see this mass of 60 people, trying to get through these doors. And, along the way, they have like a neat little like physics system for, these different, people kind of bumping into each other. So much so that, you have like a grab button. So there's like trolling that people do, like trying to grab others to hold them back, that kind of stuff. Yeah, there's a jump and a dive, which you can use to get like longer jumps. Especially useful in certain challenges. But yeah, it works out pretty well. I've won one episode, is what they call it when you win. And that adds into, it has two currencies, kudos, which is coins, and then crowns, which is for winning.
Wow.
And those get you different currencies. But the battle pass will give you, I think, three crowns. There's nothing too high priced in terms of the crown items, but the kudos ones you can get a decent amount if you get pretty far. And yeah, there are a couple games I'm not a huge fan of. One's called Slime Climb, which is an obstacle course thing where you're trying to get up this kind of more vertically oriented course that as time goes on, slime is climbing up it. And so if you hit the slime, you're out. And I've maybe completed it, I've probably like 10 or 12 times. I've done it like 3 times. Usually trying to take like one shortcut so that if I'm not doing it right, you end up with a bunch of people trying it and then everybody doesn't get it because they're all fucking taking this one shortcut. They just all fuck each other up in a way that is fun but frustrating. And I did have one run that I put up a clip for that is like the perfect run where I managed to get in front of others, hit all my shortcuts, and was just way ahead of everybody else, which was pretty nice. But yeah, that's fun. And like a round of it is like maybe 10 minutes at most if you get to the final event. So it's not too time consuming, for that. There's one trophy that sucks. It's, you're supposed to win 5 episodes in a row, which is nuts. Gonna be easy to do it all. The rest of them are all fairly doable. It's just, you know, win, you know, X amount of episodes overall, that kind of stuff. But yeah, enjoying that a lot. That's kind of been a nice thing to like take a break from doing other stuff. Like, oh, I'll play a couple rounds of this. And the other one, just play more Golf on Mars. I think I'm on PC, I'm on over 2,000, maybe like 2,200 holes in. Still far short of a billion, but, still making progress there. Yeah, and that's been, pretty much it. How about you, Teresa?
Yeah, Teresa, you go next.
Okay. Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better today. I felt much better yesterday. A little bit better the day before. But I haven't been playing anything except Bloons TD Battle. So I've been playing that mostly on Steam because we have a touchscreen 2-in-1 laptop that I got finally from Costco. It was like almost a week late. We picked that up for the ease of our kid to use because he's going to be doing 100% remote school next, well, actually in 20 days, 19 days, I don't know, soon. But yeah, I didn't let him use it. I kind of kept it for a bit. So I've been playing that, and it has the advantage over the mobile version that there are no ads. There's none of that bull crappery that ticks you off when you play on mobile.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, I was playing, oh, I guess I did over the weekend, I played a good bit of Paper Mario. I'm still annoyed at that game, and mm-hmm. I need to set it aside. It's checked out for another week for the library. But I need to set it aside and wait until I'm feeling, like, maybe 100% better, because the battles were really, they were really cheesing me off. I was getting really pissed about them. You know, I like puzzles. I don't like it when I'm fucking doing a battle. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people echoed that. But I did go to the doctor since I did have that negative COVID test. And he's like, well, you've been coughing for a whole month. You don't have it. Just come in. And he's redone my allergy stuff and put me on some prednisone. And I'm getting there. Like, today I actually went somewhere. And it's the first time I've been out except to take a car ride with Scott for like 2 weeks. I mean, I guess I kind of felt like ass and didn't realize it. But we've been watching Rick and Morty. I said I was going to get through that. We are getting through it. We're probably towards the end of season two. Isn't there just one more season and then we wait?
I think it's four.
Yeah. Oh, there's four seasons? Okay, cool.
I think it is.
Cool. And I just noticed that all of our Switch games are stacked right up onto the side of the cable modem. Well, yeah. That's just a great way to overheat some electronics there. Yay. Yeah, I moved our games onto the entertainment stand because they were on a bookshelf before. And I think it makes it a little bit easier when you're just sitting right there in front of the Switch to figure out, like, what the hell is it that I'm going to play? But I made Kool-Aid, and apparently a lot of people can't find packets of Kool-Aid in the stores anymore. It's just those drippy-droppy things like they sell at Walmart and Target now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, not actual good old-fashioned. Well, they're not good. I mean, it's full of artificial flavors and shit.
I'm pretty sure it's nothing but artificial flavors.
Oh, God, right?
Shit.
Yeah. Artificial colors, flavors, everything. That tastes mm-hmm. so freaking good. So I made Sharkleberry Finn, and that was a great blast to middle school past.
Mm-hmm.
And today when I was out, I went and grabbed a birthday gift for my mother-in-law. And then on the way back, I felt good enough to go and get some takeout sushi and bring it home for dinner.
Takeout sushi, so like you got it from like an actual takeout place?
No, or... it's our usual place. We go to this place called Sushi Station in Rolling Meadows. And they have a window that opens up kind of like a half door. You know, like Mr. Ed type of thing.
Yeah, I get what you're talking about. Yeah.
So we can now do some dining in Illinois, and they have some little shoji screens in between to try to separate the tables, because I mean it's a sushi bar and then there's tables over the side. So usually you're elbow to elbow with people when you sit single at the sushi bar, or if you have three people, you could sit at a table. But they've put up barriers to try to minimize the spread of aerosolized breath. And I really appreciate what they've done. And I looked through there when I was picking it up. And they have a couple of tables outside, too. But, yeah, I'm still going to be picking stuff up and just going home. So it's still beyond my comfort zone out there. But it was really nice to get that because Jacob finished up his drama club for summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they did scenes from quarantine. And they all did it on Google Meet.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it from their home. And
nice.
The kids did a really great job. So we had that as kind of like a celebration from last night.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. It was really cold here for a little bit. Like, Brandon, it was so cold that I put on long pants and got a blanket out. And I am sorry. I know you would kill for that.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. It was 2 days of being very cold, but actually it kind of sucked because it made me cough a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still pretty nice. But yeah, now it's gone back into the 90s. We've got Chris's weather, but a day early. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
All right.
What have you been up to?
Well, as for me, I finished Ghost of Tsushima. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or at least I finished the major story arc. Got about over 50% of the trophies, too.
Damn.
Yeah. And yeah, that game's really good, and it gets really, like... let me put it this way. I don't know if you guys have, like, been paying attention to the game journalism world, but one of the things, sort of, I guess, criticisms that I've heard pop up at least once or twice is this idea that the game kind of still lionizes the samurai as, like, the true protectors of Japan in a way that, like, the far-right nationalist Japanese tend to do. But the problem with that critique is that only holds up unless you don't play the last third of the game. Because by the last third of the game, it becomes very clear that the samurai system is specifically an unjust one that only exists at the expense of the commoners. Mm-hmm. And it also shows that sort of the whole, you know, Bushido code is kind of bullshit when you're going up against an enemy that doesn't follow the same rules as you do.
See, exactly.
Because, you know, these are samurai going against the frickin' Mongol Empire. And, well, you took history class. You knew how the Mongols tended to operate when it came to expanding their empire.
Oh, yeah.
It was either, if you go ahead and surrender, we're going to give you all the good stuff that comes with being a Mongol subject, including, you know, infrastructure and food and supplies and having all kinds of, you know, treasures and silk and shit. And if you don't, we're going to kill you, your family, your next of kin, and burn your whole village to the ground, salt the earth, and make sure nothing ever grows again.
Mm-hmm.
And, at like, literally, like, at the end of Act 2, when you are getting back Castle Shimura, you actually, Jin Sakai, the guy that you play as, he starts, realizing that, you know, he can't play by the rules of the samurai, he has to do something else, and so one of the things he starts doing is he gets a blowgun. And he starts using poison needles. And basically, let me put it this way. His uncle, Lord Shimura, comes through the door and he's like, "We are samurai. We do not do this. You are doing..." He literally calls it an act of terror. Which I'm thinking, wait, so is he calling me a terrorist?
Right.
Yeah. but yeah, it's, it kind of sort of shreds the whole idea of the samurai the last few hours of that game pretty well. Which honestly, yeah, I don't know if I'm pretty sure I've already told you guys this multiple times. The game is doing really well in Japan right now.
Yeah.
And
that's really cool.
Yeah. And part of the reason is because a lot of, you know, Japanese players have said this is the first game that actually, like, shows the samurai the way we in Japan typically see them, and that, yeah, they were these big, cool guys who believed in honor, but historically they were also kind of assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you do have your handful who think that the game is anti-Japan, and, but, you know, because those guys are...
Yeah. That's our gaming neckbeards.
Yeah. Yes, Japan has them too. In fact, I'm probably going to stick around because I'm going to talk a little bit more about those individuals in our next segment. But before I do that, I also, since I finished Ghost of Tsushima, I went to GameStop and traded it in so I could put my money down for Trails of Cold Steel 4. Comes out in October here, and also put more money on Cyberpunk because that comes out the following month.
What's the release on that one again?
On Cyberpunk?
Yeah.
I think it's like November 10th or November 11th.
So I should be able to get it from the library.
Or it might be the 9th.
19th.
Yeah, it's in the middle of November.
Okay.
That's what you got to know, what you need to know.
I'll reserve it at the library, but you guys, it's going to be like fucking February before I get it.
Probably.
I'm still waiting on Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah. Yeah.
Frankly, amazed that I got Paper Mario as quick as I did.
Yeah. But yeah, so since I still had money left over, I got me a copy of Code Vein. And for those of you who don't know what Code Vein is, I think Jim Sterling famously called it anime Dark Souls. And that's a pretty good way to describe it. It's Dark Souls, but it's anime as hell. Yes. And it's fun.
It's one of a number of those kind of games.
Yeah, but this one's actually good.
Yeah.
Not perfect, but good. And I have more to say that I've only played a little bit. Also went to the used bookstore, went and traded some stuff in. Anybody who's seen me on social media, you probably don't know, I'm currently in Facebook jail. At least until like Monday.
You know, some things are worth being in Facebook jail.
Yeah, so just to make a long story short, I got in a really heated discussion with some people over the Uyghur situation in China. The attempted ethnic cleansing of the Uyghurs in southwestern China.
I don't know that it's attempted, man. They've got, at least 1.5 million in forced labor camps?
Yeah. Well, it's a bit weirder than that. They don't actually, they're forced labor camps, but they outsource the labor to various factories around China.
Yeah.
So
I would say it's a successful operation, sadly.
Yeah. There's a good, 6-to-1 chance that if you're wearing a mask right now, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, it's possible it was made by a Uyghur detainee in a sweatshop somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, the thing about this is, when you talk about the Uyghur situation, you're going to run into people who are hardcore pro-China. And I know that sounds like, wait, there are people out there who are like super duper pro-China. Yes, there are.
It's mind-blowing. Why?
I guess. No, I'll tell you why. And I'm gonna just tell you why, and it's a combination of things. One is the fact that a lot of people are still mentally in Cold War mode. And the thing about the Cold War is that both sides were real heavy on the use of disinformation.
Yeah.
And because of that, because the disinformation was so prevalent, it got to a point that some people became so cynical of the American side that they would then automatically take the side of the communist bloc at all times. You may have heard of them. You'll hear them. You may have heard the term tanky at least once. Mm-mm. That's basically the type of people. And China has their own group of individuals like this. Some of you may have heard of something called the 50 Cent Army, which are basically people that China pays to go online and try and maneuver the discussion in such a way to deflect from China's egregious behavior, or at least China's government, I should say, or more specifically, individuals in China's government. Because of this, the United States has been kind of seeming to be rearing back up to start up a new Cold War, but this time with the People's Republic of China, it means that all those old school tankies are now going back up into Cold War mode again and now automatically take China's side and everything. Okay. And so one of these guys basically called me a cop.
And so I said,
hey, you want to walk that back a little bit before I break your fucking nose? And AI zapped it, and so I've been zapped, and I'm in Facebook jail. Also, for the record, I should know, some of my friends have family that are over there, and some of them have disappeared and have not been seen for months.
Yeah.
So it is definitely happening down there.
That's been happening for a long time. I worked with a guy who was a Chinese citizen. And when he was younger, his mom fled with all the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they went with a brother or a sister. Anyway, there were cousins there. And the eldest two sons of the families tried to take off by themselves, and they got caught and put in a camp that wasn't explained thoroughly, and they were gone for 6 to 9 months.
Yeah.
And then one day they came back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you think this is just like, and here's the thing, all
that
of
was
these
like,
guys.
That was in the 80s.
Yeah. That was Deng Xiaoping. That was, because remember, that's when Tiananmen Square happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of these guys, here's the weird part, though. Most of these pro-China individuals I talk about, most of them are like middle-class white guys.
It's just the weirdest thing what people get up on.
You know what it is? It's people who are privileged enough that they can afford to be contrarian. That's what it is.
You just described every problem person in my life.
Yeah.
Past and present.
Also, for the record, I know a few people who live in Vietnam, which mm-hmm. some of you may know is also a one-party state and also happens to share a border with China.
Yeah, that's where, where they were in the 80s. And they were there during the takeover.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Chinese government came in and took possession of their house and all the household goods, and his mom would smuggle out family relics mm-hmm. in the kids' backpacks while they were still going to school.
Yeah.
They were well off enough that they had armed guards outside of their house to make sure that they weren't doing exactly what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what point I'm making is, just ask some folks in Vietnam what exactly they think of China, especially considering that, you know, they had that whole thing where the Khmer Rouge and Pol Pot tried to invade their country from Cambodia. And guess who was giving them financial support when that was happening?
Oh, go figure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's about it. I think we got anything else we want to add before we move on?
No.
All right. Alrighty then. Well, it is then time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And today, what's the, like I said earlier, Japan has their own particular variety of neckbeards and alt-righters, and I would say neo-Nazis, but Nazis aren't really a thing over there. But let's just say they're historical revisionists. Would that be a good phrase? Okay, so
we're in for a treat here.
Oh, yeah, you're going to love this. Especially if you're an anime fan, you might have come across references to groups and individuals like this. Because they've basically been in Japan more or less since the 1950s. And they have a handful of traits that typically people attribute with them. So these are groups known as, well, in Japanese, they're known as Yuyoku Dantai, which translates to right-wing groups.
Okay.
And now, as far as, like, who actually, how many people are actually in these groups, basically between 1996 and 2013, Japan's National Policy Agency estimated that there were about 1,000 of these groups in Japan, with about 100,000 members total. So that's about 100 people per group.
Yeah, okay.
That's
still enough to make noise.
Yeah. And funny that you mentioned that. Noise. These types of individuals are famously kind of public nuisances in Japan. You see, the Japanese, much like any group of people in a civilized country, generally don't like noise pollution. And these guys basically spend like 50% of their time doing just that, specifically with these things right here. Yeah, these are called Gysentia, or sound trucks. And, yeah, you've probably seen, like, one or two of these at least in an anime at least at one point. Because, now, it should be important to realize that they're not just specifically used by these types of groups. Like, regular, you know, like, actual legitimate political group parties in Japan use them too. But they don't use them quite as egregiously, and they tend to follow, you know, city codes. So, like, for example, this is right here is a truck that's used by the Japanese Communist Party, which is one of the, believe it or not, one of the largest parties in the Japanese Diet, or Diet. I never did realize how, figure out how you were supposed to pronounce that.
I think in civics class, Ms. Henzel called it a Diet.
Yeah, the Diet. But those black trucks that have the kanji on the side with the Japanese national flag going around, those are the ones that people typically are talking about when they're talking about these individuals. And basically what they do is they go around various places and basically screaming various ultra-nationalist slogans through the speakers. They're playing like old patriotic songs very loudly. And they're particularly well known for going through neighborhoods that may or may not have large Chinese or Korean ethnic resonance within them.
Rude.
Oh, it gets worse. They also do this in front of the Chinese and Korean embassies.
Super rude.
Yeah, and they're particularly infamous for going to Shungiran facilities, which, for those you don't know, those are Korean residents in Japan whose ethnic and political ties are to what we know as North Korea. Oh yeah. They also usually play Kimi ga Yao, which for those who don't know, that's Japan's national anthem. For a time during the Cold War, it was not unusual to see organizations like the Great Japan Patriots basically decorate their trucks with both the Japanese and the United States flag, but they stopped doing that in the late 60s. They are also famously hostile against the Japan Teachers Union. Because
everybody fucking hates teachers unions. What, yeah. What is up with those alt-right people?
Because idiots are easier to manipulate.
Yes. Hi, Pat. When'd you get on?
I just joined.
Oh, okay. Well, just so you don't know, we're talking about Yoku Dantai, the infamous far-right groups in Japan.
Ah, yeah.
You are probably familiar with their sound trucks.
I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. Now, basically the reason they hate the teachers union is because they are the ones who screen history textbooks that are going to be published within the country. And the thing about history textbooks and the controversy over those in Japan is the fact that it's not until probably fairly recently that they've openly acknowledged just how egregious the Empire of Japan's activities during World War II actually were.
Yeah, that was a hard pill to swallow for them, I think.
Yeah.
It's a black eye.
Yeah, especially when it comes to things like, oh, say, their rule in Manchukuo, the activities that happened in Nanjing, the Korean comfort women, the Unit 731. Yeah, if you don't know what that is, just type it up. You'll just look it up. You'll be equally horrified as I was.
Don't eat first.
Yeah, don't. It's pretty horrifying. But there's essentially, like I said, there's roughly 1,000 of these groups. All of them have maybe 100 members each. And there are essentially a handful of these that are probably more well-known and not necessarily just for political reasons. So, okay, so like for example, there's Daitojuko, known as the Great Eastern School, which was which has its origins in a cultural academy that was set up in 1939 and actually kind of still exists. They still kind of hold to the line behind the whole concept of the Greater East Asian Co-Prosperity Sphere. Yeah. Another group that's still around is the Great Japan Patriotic Party. And the reason these guys are infamous is because they, amongst other things, one of their members was Otoya Yamaguchi, the guy who assassinated Inajiro Asanuma on live television in 1960. If you've ever seen footage, Asanuma is like right there. He's making a speech and this dude runs up on the stage and he's got a short sword. And he stabs Asanuma all the way up to the hilt.
Yeah, sadly I have seen that.
Yeah, it is.
Then don't eat first.
Yeah. But yeah, that's them. And then there's Isuokai. They came about in the 70s, and they're honestly kind of the sort of godfathers of sort of Yuko Dantais as we know them today. They famously are the ones that first started using those infamous noise trucks.
Okay.
And then there's another group, and the reason these are particularly infamous is because they're all affiliated with Yakuza syndicates.
Oh
yeah. There's
just dialed it up to 11?
Yeah, so there's Nihon Sainensha, the Japan Youth Society. They have about 2,000 members. They're one of the largest. They constructed some lighthouses and a Shinto shrine on the Senkaku Islands, which, as you don't know, is a group of islets like out in the middle of I think it's like the South China Sea that's claimed by both Japan, China, and Taiwan. Then in 2000, a couple members attacked the offices of a magazine, which ran a headline which they alleged was disrespectful to Crown Princess Masako. Mm-hmm. Then there's the Nihon Kominto, the Japan Emperor's People Party, which was affiliated to the Inagawa Kai Syndicate. These guys are infamous because they also happen to have ties with a certain little political party in Japan you may have heard of called the Liberal Democratic Party, mm-hmm. which has basically been the party in power since the 1950s, like all but like with no, like just no change whatsoever. In 2004, a bus belonging to the group rammed the gate of the Chinese consulate in Osaka. This is where the other weird part that comes from this and why their affiliation with Yakuza syndicates makes all of this incredibly unusual. So, do you know who happened to be heavily involved with and are members of the Yakuza?
Who?
Koreans.
Okay, walk us through this.
And the guy who orchestrated the attack that I just described, his name was Ko Chong-su, and he was a Korean member of Nihon Kobento. Yeah.
That is a politically complicated situation.
Yeah. Then there's Taikosha. They're also affiliated with Inagawa Kai. There's Seikijuku, Sane Thinker School. They were responsible for the near-fatal shooting for the mayor of Nagasaki in 1991 because the mayor said that Emperor Showa was partly responsible for the war. Yeah. Oof. And then you've got the Yukoku Daishikai, and these guys are particularly extreme even for this group because These guys went from just regular extremist parroting to honest-to-God terrorism. In 1963, these guys set fire to Ichiro Kono's house. He was a member of the Liberal Democratic Party. And the members that were involved with that attack, they were armed with guns and katana. They took hostages and barricaded themselves in 1977 in the office of the Japan Business Federation. Yeah.
That's pretty
then nice. In 1983, an individual who was not a member but was associated named Shintaro Ishihara, he actually defamed his opposition candidate that year because he claimed that he was Korean. Now, this is the weird thing. Then the Yoshoku Doshinkai, the group that he was supposedly had relations with, then actually protested against him because its leaders, the group's leader Shusuke Nomura, was a huge admirer of Ahn Jung-gun, who was a Korean nationalist. Yeah, like I said, all of this stuff gets really complicated when you get down to the nitty gritty shit.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Then we got these three other groups, and these will be the last, and then I'll move on. And these guys are particularly odd because these are the ones who've probably had – well, you'll find out. So first we'll have the Japan Conference, also known as Nippon Kaigi. And these guys are really infamous for textbook reform.
All right.
You know what I mean by textbook reform.
Oh, yeah, they're rewriting history.
And they also want to revise Japan's constitution so that they can, get involved in, letting Japan have a military that it can use offensively again. Yeah.
That's just what we need.
Mm-hmm. They also actively campaign for a Liberal Democratic Party. Who happens to be a member of this group? The current Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Then you have the Zaitokukai, the Association of Citizens Against the Special Privileges of the Zainichi. Do you guys know what Zainichi is?
No.
Koreans. Specifically, Zainichi Koreans. They are ethnic Koreans who have permanent residency status in Japan. And they are people who they're the descendants of individuals who's arrived in Japan before 1945 because they were in Manchukuo.
Okay.
In other words, they were basically slave labor.
Mm.
And these guys really, the Zaitokukai really do not like these people. They call them welfare cheats. And that they're overly privileged.
Is sounding familiar.
Yep.
They are also hardcore anti-Chinese. The National Police Agency has actually called them a potential threat to public order. And then finally, we have, because I knew it was going to come eventually, the National Socialist Japanese Workers' Party. They're neo-Nazis.
Beautiful. Just effing beautiful.
Uh-huh. They praise both Adolf Hitler and the September 11th attacks. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not all just a beautiful rainbow and butterflies world over there.
Oh, it's never been a beautiful rainbow and butterflies world. It's always been a cesspool of traditionalism and racism and xenophobia. It's just that they're better at hiding it.
Yeah.
They are working on rooting it out.
Well, they're trying.
It's a long mountain to climb.
Yeah, it is. But as I also mentioned, their current prime minister happens to be a member of one of these groups.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, baby steps, I guess.
Yeah.
And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. So, how many of you guys ever seen High School of the Dead?
I know of it. I have encountered it in my travels.
Yeah, one of the main characters of that particular anime, I mean, well, it was a manga originally, then became an anime, the pink-haired chick who's like a tsundere with the glasses, yeah, her dad runs one of these groups.
Oh, Lord.
And it also should probably let you know that apparently the writer of that particular manga was sympathetic to these organizations.
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on.
Okay.
So, moving on from there, by the way, just real quickly, Pat, did you do anything significant this week you want us to talk about, or?
Oh, geez. So, you know, like, I've been off this show for the last couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, it was because I was getting my retro consoles set up and, you know, ready for possibly becoming some of my main gaming, and that outlook hasn't really changed in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week, it was because of that awesome fighting game developers panel that I'm hoping some of you have gone back and watched it, because it might be the most important thing to have happened in the genre in the last decade.
Yeah.
But I've really just been focusing on getting these retro consoles together. I made a substantial investment this morning in them, in the form of just ordering some more equipment for them and, you know, flash drives, OTG cables, controllers. I'm going to be ready when this TurboGrafx hack comes down, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, I've just been diving headfirst into a bunch of fourth and fifth generation games that I missed out on the first time around, and I'm loving life.
Cool.
So that's pretty much been it for me.
Yep. Okay. Well then, with that, we will start the show proper. And as always, we have to start with our assholes of the week. And our perennial assholes of the week is, of course, the Trump administration, who decided this week to both increase the citizenship fee by 81%, and they decided to add a fee for asylum seekers.
Yeah, so the citizenship fee went from $640 to now $1,160. And the asylum seeker fee is $50. I assume banking on the fact that they will have no money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, let's see, takes effect October 2nd.
I am not an international lawyer, but I have a friend who is an international lawyer, and, this is not above board by any stretch of the imagination, so... I'm sure there are courts that are already preparing to take this on.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Because, asylum seekers get asylum. That's the law.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only three other countries that impose asylum fees. I don't know if you'll be able to guess all three of these.
Let's see, what are some of the shittiest countries? Does anyone even seek asylum in China? Because why the fuck would you?
Koreans do.
Yeah, occasionally they... True. Yeah, well, technically China is like the one country that North Korea has a friendly border with. So yeah, people from North Korea do go in and out of North Korea and in and out of China via that, by that border crossing quite often.
Okay, I'll give you regions. One in the Middle East.
Okay.
And two, I guess you call it South Pacific. South Indian, Middle South East. Pacific, I guess. One of each.
I guess one of them is Kashmir?
Nope.
No? Okay, what about Bangladesh?
Nope.
For Middle East, I'm going to go with... the United
Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
Yep. No.
I'll just tell us because I'm fresh out. Well, yeah.
Okay.
That one, yeah.
Fiji.
Island of Fiji. Yep. Yeah. Because it's slowly sinking into the sea.
Okay.
And the last one you would not guess, Australia.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Huh.
Okay. Yeah, that's surprising to me, too, yeah.
Okay. That, still an asshole thing to do, though.
It is.
Like, but I mean, again, as we found with this administration's immigration policy, the cruelty is the point.
It is.
But, moving on from there, an official with the Department of Homeland Security resigned, was reassigned this week after, people found out that they had been collecting intelligence material on journalists and protesters.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Murphy, acting undersecretary for the DHS Office of Intelligence and Analysis. Summed to acting Homeland Security Chad Wolf's office Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was moved to some other spot. I'm not sure. Yeah, they don't know what it is yet, but yeah, revealed that his office had gathered reports on two journalists and some protesters as well.
Mm-hmm.
For Portland, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the journalists is a New York Times writer.
I saw that one coming.
Yeah,
because it's the failing New York Times.
And the editor-in-chief of the blog Lawfare, Benjamin Witz.
Mm-hmm.
Who published leaked unclassified government documents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But fortunately, we do have one hell of a hero this week. The New York Attorney General, because this week they filed a suit to dissolve the National Rifle Association.
That is a huge hero of the week.
Because they had been doing an extensive fraud investigation for a few months now.
18 months,
and they put out their 129-page deposition this week. And it basically shows a history of egregious financial fraud going back decades.
Yeah, and the part of this investigation was $64 million over a 3-year period.
Mm-hmm.
That's no small amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, alleges that top NRA executives misused charitable funds for personal gain, awarded contracts to friends and family members, and provided contracts to former employees to ensure loyalty.
Yep.
And to get a sense of how douchey this is, you only have to look at who is actually the good guy in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah,
the whistleblower, Ollie North.
Yep. Ollie North is the guy that let all of this come out.
And oh my god.
Involves Executive Vice President Wayne LaPierre, General Counsel John Fraser, mm-hmm. former Chief Financial Officer Woody Phillips, and former Chief of Staff Joshua Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And dozens of examples of alleged financial malfeasance, including use of NRA funds for vacations, private jets, expensive meals. I said the organization's executives, quote, instituted a culture of self-dealing, mismanagement, negligent oversight that contributed to, quote, the waste and loss of millions of assets in assets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, so a lot of people are wondering, like, okay, so what is the immediate effect of all of this? Well, basically, what this means is it's a suit, so it's going to have to go to court. The NRA, of course, will have to go send their legal team there. And what's probably going to happen is probably a couple years down the line, they're going to file a settlement, and then the NRA itself will cease to exist.
Yeah, it's... The AG said that basically the NRA cannot like relocate themselves out of the state because it would have to go through them.
Yeah.
Approval would have to, and they're not going to let them do it.
Yeah. So basically what's probably going to happen is the NRA, as we know it, will cease to exist, and there will probably be another organization that will come in to take its place. Probably with a handful of the same people.
Wouldn't the American Gun Owners Association, I think that's the name of it.
You mean Gun Owners of America?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want those guys either. Those guys are even worse than the NRA. Those guys actively traffic in anti-Semitic conspiracy theories.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, they're a big part of the American militia movement. You don't want those guys anywhere near.
And today we're in front of the NRA protesting and actually celebrating their demise in front of the New York Attorney General's lawsuit. So this is their beautiful building, and they're terrified.
The thing is, though, I'm actually kind of saying there is part of me that is kind of sad about this, because despite the political bullshit, there were parts of NRA of the NRA that actually did have legitimate purposes, especially its educational arm. Because, you know, when I was a kid, they had, like, whole campaigns about, like, gun safety and shit and
hunger stuff. Safe.
Yeah. How to properly store them, you know, where to work.
A lot of organizations, I mean, they don't start out with evil, nefarious ideas.
No.
They just grow that way.
Yeah. And, we'll see where this goes. But, yeah, it looks like the NRA, as we know it, is finished.
Good riddance.
And frankly, they fucking deserve it. They got nobody to blame but themselves. Honestly, after the absolute fucking disaster that was NRA TV, I'm surprised more people didn't realize how messed up shit was over there. But yeah. All right, so moving on from there, it is now time for everybody's it's not everybody's favorite part of the show, but it is the inevitable part of the show, apparently, because bring out your dead. We got another fresh load for the COVID-19 dump truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before I actually get started, I do want to point something out, at least somewhat of a positive. In the United States, it appears that infection rates have actually been going down. But the problem is, even though the infection rates are going down, the death rates are still climbing. So it does seem that its effectiveness, thanks to, you know, most people doing, you know, the wearing the mask, you know, practicing social distancing, the rate is kind of going back down. In fact, Dr. Fauci himself has said that we might still be able to beat this thing and not have to go through another lockdown.
Yeah.
But, well, you'll see what I'm about. Yeah. So, start off, worldwide, we are now at 19.3 million cases, with about 718,000 deaths. And
a lot of dead people.
Yeah, and in the United States alone, there is 4.9 million, close to 5 million cases, and 161,000 deaths in the United States. So,
yeah, we got Brazil's about to get to 3 million cases.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're about to hit 5. And India's surpassed 2.
Mm-hmm.
Russia's lagging behind, but who knows what their numbers actually are.
Yeah.
And I wonder if our cases numbers is maybe partially the suppression of the CDC data.
Yeah, that could be too. I'm concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like we go from like an increase of 500,000 cases to 300,000 without, you know, maybe somebody fudging numbers.
Yeah.
Right.
And it apparently seems that the government is absolutely hardcore set on the idea of trying to force herd immunity. Which, as Dr. Fauci has pointed out, that doesn't really work when the antibodies only last for a couple of weeks in your system.
Exactly.
So, yeah, but some somewhat good news. We actually added 1.8 million new jobs in July, so yeah. Unemployment is now down to 10.2%, which is still egregiously too freaking high.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my check came this week, and I see the decrease already.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm almost out anyway.
Yeah.
I'm almost out of funds for it, so.
Yeah.
And there's still nothing. There's still nothing for me.
Yeah. The current sort of aid bill that's been talked about has stalled once again. The Democrats continue to push for a $600 unemployment aid. And basically talks completely broke down today. This afternoon.
Yeah. So much so that the Senate is on a recess until next week.
Yep.
And the president has gone on vacation.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't come back.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, still talking about $1,200 for the checks. But I think Democrats want to get as much money as they can for states and counties to keep their testing going and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And Republicans don't. Like, one of the telling numbers I saw here is Senate Republicans have been split with roughly half of majority leaders rank and file opposed to another rescue bill at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which says it all right there.
Yep. Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, and Ed Markey have all come forward proposing a $2,000 per month UBI bill, universal basic income.
Yeah, this would be also retroactive to March.
Yeah.
So you get essentially a check for the entire, or like 6 months by the time this thing would go through, which it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, but it shows that there are good ideas out there that's the Republicans in the Senate are not going to go for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, $2,000 per person in your household. This is every citizen.
Yeah.
Not, you know, registered taxpayers. Parents will get, I think, $2,000 per child for up to three.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, this would help out basically everybody on the lower end of the market.
Yeah. It would definitely help me. Now we got a couple of stories from my home state of Georgia.
Yeah, America's petri dish right now.
Yeah,
for the whole get everybody back to school thing.
Yeah. So there was one school. A student came to class on, I think it was the first day, and he realized that not a lot of people were actually wearing masks. Especially in the overcrowded hallways. So he took a photo. And that photo ended up going viral.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first she's working for the, I think, the yearbook.
Mm-hmm.
Took a picture of this for the yearbook and posted on social media.
Yep. And because it ended up kind of showing that the school's administrators were a bunch of assholes. Who apparently didn't really give a crap, they got all antsy in the pantsy and suspended them. Suspended her.
3 days?
Guess what's going to happen now?
Oh, they rescinded the suspension.
Oh, well, that's a fine way to avoid a lawsuit, but it ain't going
to
happen.
Yeah, they were fixing to have a lawsuit, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, which and gave her enough time, the time off to, you know, go on some media.
Yeah.
Interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But yeah, this North Paulding High School.
Mm-hmm. They interviewed some of the faculty there, and the faculty basically said, well, I mean, to wear a mask, that's a personal choice. We can't really just make them do that. And I say, bull fucking shit. Tell that to all the people who made me tuck my shirt in before I walked into school all 4 years I was in high school.
If you
can police how long a girl's skirt is, they sure as shit can police a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen
bullshit.
As one of the people I follow on Twitter, like, posted the lengthy list of attire rules, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
you can do this, but can't require a mask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the school had particularly some issues even before they opened up. Has had an outbreak among members of the high school football team. Who worked out together in a crowded indoor gym last week as part of a weightlifting fundraiser. Within the days of that workout, several players tested positive for it. School's parents were notified just hours before the first day of class.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, waiting till the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Multiple teachers say there are positive tests among school staff, including staff member who came into contact with most teachers at the school while exhibiting symptoms last week. Teachers and staff said the school won't confirm coronavirus infections among district employees, citing privacy reasons.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely wrong.
Yeah, I said, it's bullshit.
Yeah, and this is not the only school where staff is already breaking out with coronavirus.
Oh, yeah, because guess what? The largest school district in the state of Georgia, 260 employees have COVID-19 or have been exposed to it.
Yep.
Yep. This is Gwinnett. County School District
in Wayne County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in aren't they the ones that have horrible, horrible busing policies?
Yep.
Okay. I knew I recognized them from somewhere, but I thought they were Virginia for some reason.
Nope, it's here in Georgia.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, as their spokeswoman said, as of last Thursday, we had approximately 260 employees who've been excluded from work due to a positive case or contact with a case. This number is fluid as we continue to have new reports and others who are returning to work. It was in the metro Atlanta area. It's largest in the school system, in the school system in the state, set to reopen with online learning on August 12th. Despite high case count and confirmed community spread, some parents held a protest last week demanding that children be allowed to return to in-person learning.
I don't understand how parents can hate their children that much to do that. Because I don't see any
Well, look who they voted for.
I guess. I fucking guess.
Yep.
I mean, I'm done. Go.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, that's the load for the COVID-19 dump truck. Come back next week. We'll have another fresh load for you.
Yeah, and that wasn't the only Georgia school. There's the one about the overnight camp.
Yeah, there was that one as well.
Kids get exposed.
Yeah, wasn't that supposed to be a whole week? But they just did like one or two nights, and it was a disaster.
Yep.
And now they're starting to say, oh, hey, maybe infection rates in kids is really bad.
Yeah.
Like any other disease.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I mentioned I was at the doctor this week, and he said, as an aside, what's your kid doing with school? And I'm like, well, we chose the 100% remote option. He's like, I'm very glad to hear that. And I said, I don't understand why they're even bothering opening the schools when they're probably not going to be able to stay open even a month before they have to shut down. He's like, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why waste the money on electricity and all that?
Yeah.
And the risk, I mean, the risk. I sent an email to another teacher today, you know, pouring out my heart saying, I'm so sorry you guys have to go to work. I'm sorry this is happening. I wish it wasn't happening. I really hope that you're all going to be safe. I mean, these aren't just people who skate around the perimeter of your life. These are people who are part of your life 9 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're at significant risk. Their families are at risk. Mm-hmm. The kids' families are at risk. I know you guys know this. You know this so much, but...
Yeah, I got teachers in the family. I know.
It's sickening. It shouldn't even be happening.
Yeah. Actually, you want to... Because you brought it up. But, well, I said because you brought it up. It is not really a thing, but... I had to help take out some of the trash with my dad this week, and while we were sort of in the middle of it, he turns to me and he said, hey, Brandon, can I tell you something? And I said, yeah. He says, I don't want you to tell your mother this, but I don't think I'm going to be voting for Trump again this November.
Oh, thank God.
Good.
I asked him, what was it that finally did it?
Yeah.
And he said it was the, he said it was like a handful of things, but what really did it was the complete bungling of the COVID-19 problem.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, once it started to get, like, got around to this point where it suddenly, like, boomeranged back up to the high digits, even against all odds, and he's like, I can't trust this guy anymore.
Yeah.
He said, don't tell your mom. And I said, don't worry, I ain't going to tell her.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. There's a lot of people who are coming forward this week.
Mm-hmm.
This week. And I think maybe a lot of it is after, I'm sure this is going to be in the news, the it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure a lot of people just did not. That didn't go over well.
Yeah, give it another week or two when the reality finally hits everybody with a sledgehammer, and
so sad.
Yeah, so anyway, speaking of bullshit, in Beirut and Lebanon, there was this horrific freaking explosion that killed 150 people, wounded thousands more, did millions, if not billions of dollars in damage, and has left hundreds of thousands of people homeless.
Yeah, and it's because of they had 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate.
Yeah.
And I think I saw that was comparable to like the third biggest explosion in the history of them tracking this these kinds of explosions.
Yeah, I think that like wasn't the a biggest nuclear is bomb. Like Krakatoa or something like that. Yeah, it's
like non-nuclear.
It was crazy.
Explosions.
Like yeah. there's an overlay of the bullseye of the destruction on downtown Chicago, like in the Loop, and then the heavy damage, and then the windows blown out. The windows blown out are almost all the way out here by me, and I'm like an hour out of the city. It's when they put it over a map of something that you know and something that you can relate to. It's crazy.
Yeah. People are basically comparing it to like the Halifax disaster. It's one of those like super powerful explosions that just leveled the place.
Yeah. And that stuff was sitting there for years.
Yeah.
They had been
yeah.
notified that this was going to be an issue. And, now they know that it was.
Yeah. Apparently it came out today that apparently the president has known about this since last year, apparently.
Yeah,
the prime minister
and just sat on it.
Yeah, and just sat on it.
Now, one thing I heard about it was that the only meaningful difference, or that the radioactive discharge of a nuclear explosion is the only meaningful difference between an actual nuclear strike and what happened in Beirut.
Yep.
In terms of the actual energy release, it might have actually been worse.
Yeah. Ammonium nitrate, by the way, that is some of the stuff they use to make fertilizer.
It was a fertilizer plant that went up.
Yeah, this is the stuff that, extremists use to bomb abortion clinics. It's this type of shit.
Wasn't really
and
explosion.
There was like a fucking silo of this crap just stored in the middle of Beirut.
I wanted to say there was like an explosion here in the U.S. like a few years ago that was like at a fertilizer plant that this stuff just kind of went off.
Yeah.
Just destroyed it.
Yeah.
There was
flammable as all hell. It is it will go up in like a fifth of a second.
It's also used for
explosives.
There's
like an amazing video. There was a woman who was posing for her bridal pictures at the time of the explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And that
you can see the force of it hitting them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll
not enough I'll to knock them over, but enough to scare the fucking shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't know if that dress was still white, but yeah, the our local NBC station, NBCChicago.com, has that. If anybody wants to look it up, it's crazy.
And what makes all this even worse is the fact that Lebanon has been going through a serious economic crisis for the last decade, and this also happened in the middle of COVID-19, which just makes it even worse.
Yeah.
You know who's really going to get a lot out of this? Fucking Hezbollah. Because they're like one of the major like charitable and mutual aid groups in that country. And I've been told that there were people like the day after the explosion, there were already trucks of Hezbollah volunteers showing up, handing out food and first aid packs. So, yeah.
Yep.
And there's already like a bunch of conspiracy theories going around as well.
This is just negligence.
Yeah, it's pure negligence.
Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah, it's really freaking awful.
Yeah.
And now for further awfulness, the last fully intact ice shelf that existed in the Canadian Arctic, it collapsed at the end of July. So there is no longer no fully intact ice shelves left in the Canadian Arctic.
Yeah, this one was a good bit bigger than the island of Manhattan that broke off.
Yep.
It's about 80 square kilometers, and the island of Manhattan is 60 square kilometers, but yeah. Above normal air temperatures, offshore winds and open water in front of the ice shelf are all part of the recipe for the ice shelf breakup.
Yep.
Our world's on fire. How about yours?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Wonderful. Now for some good news. So down in, let's see, what city is this?
Ferguson.
Ferguson, Missouri.
Oh.
Yes, that Ferguson, Missouri. Oh, yeah. There has been a sort of political dynasty in that part of Ferguson, which had recently been with William Lacey Clay, who had been sort of a part of a political dynasty of Democratic politics in Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, he was actually ousted and lost his primary to Cori Bush, a woman who was once homeless, who famously began leading protests following the death of a black 18-year-old in Ferguson. I believe that was... Crap, when was that?
Oh, gosh, it's been like 2 years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, I can't even... Yeah, it's just like with the George Floyd shit, it's like... There's just like a whole list of them.
Oh, God, Michael Brown was 2014.
2014, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Well, she was also the very first Justice Democrat.
Yeah, ooh. She was on the documentary that was on Netflix.
Yeah, she's one of the women on that documentary. And she won the primary.
Yep.
And here's the thing. Because of the way that this district is gerrymandered, it's a pretty safe bet that she's going to be going to Washington after November.
Yeah, it's majority black district.
Yep. Uh-huh. So we got a new member of the squad very soon. Yep.
Good.
Yeah. It says here, they counted us out, she said. They called me. I'm just a protester. I'm just the activist with no name, no title, and no real money. That's all they said I was, but St. Louis showed up today. They're ready to turn the page on decades of failed leadership.
Yep. Go, people, go.
Yeah.
This is what we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she, it was Michael Brown. It's that, basically vaulted her into the activist role. She's also a, pastor. She's also a registered nurse. She was the leader of many of the protests that followed the death of Brown. So you probably saw her on the news at least once or twice.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can basically, the whole ongoing George Floyd protest, you can kind of thank that for her win. It's just sort of the forward momentum that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, by the way, those George Floyd protests, they haven't stopped. They're still going. Yeah, still hundreds of people showing up to them. So it ain't over.
It needs to keep going.
Yeah. Speaking of the squad, Rashida Tlaib, she once again won her primary in Michigan to defend her House of Representatives seat.
Yep.
And it wasn't even close, too. It was like a freaking 2-1. She's one of the first two Muslim women in Congress. Of course, the other one is Ilhan Omar. She was running against, let's see, who was it?
Detroit City Council President Brenda Jones.
Yeah.
Who only lost by 1% in 2018.
Mm-hmm. And she won, it was like 66 to 33%. So she got absolutely trounced by Tlaib.
Yep.
That's a sign of a pattern there.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it is.
Yeah. So that is pretty neat. Now for some insanity. You know how Kanye West announced that he was going to be running for president?
Do we have to talk about this guy?
Yeah, because with the help of some ex-members of CPAC, he's actually going to be on the ballot in 9 states as a third-party candidate.
Okay, let's put that help in air quotes.
Yeah.
We're not helping this guy.
He's made it very clear that the reason he's doing it is to run as a spoiler for Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just what we need.
Jeez. For the record, I should also point out that Kanye hasn't really had a hit in a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much the only thing that keeps him relevant is his antics.
Yep.
Which is more mental health issues that...
I mean, freaking Kim Kardashian has basically come forward and said before that she's been trying to get Kanye committed.
But he's clearly disintegrating.
Yeah, but he's got like this army of yes men around him who are exploiting him. And, you know, he has to do something really egregious to get involuntarily committed. So, I mean, I guess it's only a matter of time, but he's clearly not well.
No, he's not. And it's just such a shame that these butt hangers on, because you're just like turds hanging on to a butt, won't leave him alone and let him get healthy.
Yeah.
That made no sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. A lot of people make money when Kanye does something stupid, so... And because, you know, he's associated him with the Trump campaign, we know how predatory they are. So, yeah. Next up, News Corp. They are the people behind Fox News and a bunch of other infamous conservative outlets like The Sun, for example. James Murdoch, who happens to be one of Rupert Murdoch's sons, has resigned from News Corp's board because at this point their editorial content direction is so just obvious bullshit. He's like, I can't associate myself with this anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the youngest son. Said he had disagreements over certain editorial content published by the news outlet and certain other strategic decisions. The letter he wrote just was like two sentences long, so it's not really too much there.
For the record, this is also the guy who'd already left the part of the Fox Corporation part of it because he was just disgusted by Fox News in general. But he had remained as part of News Corp. And then I guess recently he's like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Amongst other things, he really doesn't like climate change denialists. He was a Pete Buttigieg supporter. Apparently, he was trying to stay on because he figured, hey, Rupert's going to die at any point, and I might have some more control of the company. I can help it steer it in a better direction. But I guess he's given up on that proposition. I guess he thinks News Corp is kind of a sinking ship.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
Yeah. So, I guess some people in that family have some smarts and aren't completely immoral. Yeah, speaking of people that are completely immoral, President Trump's trying to force TikTok to be sold to an American company, otherwise he's going to ban it from the United States within 45 days.
Yeah, see, so this works for me on two levels. Firstly, TikTok is beyond spyware.
Oh, yeah, it is one of the most notorious, like, awful. It is notorious for the information farming that it does.
Oh, God, yeah. And, I mean, you guys heard me for a couple of months lamenting that I couldn't convince my kid and I didn't want to just flat out ban it because forbidden fruits. You guys get that.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got through to him. And I think it was a matter of, hey, mom's full of shit. She doesn't know what she's talking about. And then finally other sources came along in his sphere of influence. And it's like, hey, guess what? Your mom ain't full of shit. But I love that it's going to go away. That works for me. Or that it gets taken over and the code rewritten from the fucking ground up because you cannot reuse any of it. If you've ever gone into a deep dive about people who have analyzed it, it's shit and it can't be fixed. So having it redone in such a way that it's not worse than spyware beautiful, or just making it go away completely.
Yeah.
And then being replaced by something else, like they're looking at the influencers or whatever, yeah. or looking at moving over to Instagram vids or something. I don't know what the hell it was. I don't care. And on the second prong that it works for me is that people are going to get pissed off at Trump and they're not going to want to vote for him. So, yay, maybe young people will get more into the political foray here.
Yeah.
He's also demanding a cut of the sale, if I remember correctly.
Because of course
oh,
he is.
Now?
Oh, yes, he is. Because of course he is.
Yeah, commission fee.
Yeah.
However, let's say why this is even happening, Brandon.
Yeah, because it was TikTok users that basically embarrassed him when he tried to make his big live rally come back. It's the reason why Brad Parscale is no longer the head of his campaign.
Yeah.
And they straight up made him look like an idiot, and now he wants blood.
Yep.
Yeah, I like.
Don't get the salty walk of shame.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think he's forgotten it.
No, Trump is not the type of person. I mean, Jesus, he was still complaining about Rosie O'Donnell 10 years after she made that joke about him.
Oh God, which one was that? Even I've forgotten.
Rosie O'Donnell, back when she was on, I think it was The View.
Yeah.
And she did that thing where she's like, and it was like back when he was on The Apprentice.
Yeah.
And she did that thing where, like, she would throw her hair over her head so it kind of looked like his hair, and she would, like, pucker up her lips and go, you guys are fired, you know, shit like that.
Oh, my God.
And he hated it so much that he basically launched a whole campaign to have her just straight up ruined.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay.
And he was still complaining about that, like, a decade afterwards, so.
Yeah.
He's a grudge holder.
Yeah, he holds a grudge. And yeah, he holds on to them just long enough until he can actually act on them.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
I feel like this whole thing is started waking up people to the notion of their data being mined for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, use Facebook?
Does it, Google? Yeah, does it really take that much? We hand away our identities. We hand away everything.
Yeah, if you just try to apply for jobs on Monster. You dox yourself.
Yeah.
Yep.
You should. When you do that, you usually get emails by the dozens immediately.
Yeah.
For every company that mines that data for fill out their stuff.
Recruiters.
It sends you all the same shit or even worse shit.
Yeah. So that's why I only get my job opportunities through HEMA, because don't want to have to fucking deal with those with shit like Monster or Indeed.com.
Yeah, though I like the seeing a number of people that are outside of, that, you know, Europe and whatnot are like, what's the difference between China and the U.S. when it comes to data stealing? It's like both
a bunch of red flags and hammers and sickles. That's basically the difference.
It's all kind of the same shit. I seem to be like, yeah, it's kind of all the same shit.
Yeah,
we got our own government agency about data mining.
Yep.
You
know. All right. And here's where we're fixing to get to some weird shit. Jerry Falwell Jr. You know, back when the original Jerry Falwell died, people were talking about, you know, at least his son isn't quite as a big an asshole as Falwell himself was. Boy, how long that lasted.
He apparently has had his moment.
Yeah, because he's now taking indefinite leave from Liberty University because, for reasons nobody knows, he decided to post a bunch of racy photos to, I guess it was Instagram?
Yeah.
I think it
and
was.
And Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of him, having his hand around a woman.
Yeah.
With his pants unbuckled.
Yeah, and his, like, beer belly gut hanging out.
Yeah, claiming that the drink in his glass is just black water.
It's just
a
prop.
Like, yeah,
it's not actually wine or anything.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid. And you know, like, if he had his hand on her shoulder instead of under her boobs, I would go along with, okay, he's just being funny with his wife's assistant who is pregnant and couldn't zip up her cutoff shorts.
Apparently,
so she has her cutoff shorts hanging. It's questionable behavior here.
That's the I'm hitting that pose.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that hand is a little too Biden. It's a little too Biden.
Yeah.
And then he posted up a follow-up picture of him having had too much sun.
Yeah.
Where he's just red-faced.
Yeah.
With sunburn. And yeah, even Meghan McCain is offended by his actions, saying, how is this Jerry Falwell Jr. photo even real? Also, if you're running the largest Christian university in America, maybe don't put photos of yourself on social media with your pants undone on a yacht with random women in bad wigs. So gross and hypocritical.
Yeah, Liberty University is basically a diploma mill. Yep. It's not really a very well-accredited university at all. And
yeah, they're just in an evangelical factory.
Yeah, basically. And I don't know about you, but, you know, Junior has not been having a good go of it ever since, you know, he got behind Donald Trump. There's been a bunch of incidents with him, at least over the last couple of years. I'm starting to wonder, is it possible that he might be starting to have, like, a mental episode or something? Because, is he losing it? Because, I mean, the dude's got to be, like, an awful lot of pressure right now. And the fact that he decided to, you know, hook his wagon up to the Trump campaign, which is a sinking ship right now, and he basically staked his entire legacy behind it.
Smart.
Yeah, I wonder if it's starting to get to him.
Very well could be.
Yeah. Speaking of which, so Trump had a speech that he gave in Ohio, and it was more rambly than usual.
Oh.
Yeah, and he actually stooped to trying to claim that Biden opposed God. By the way, Joe Biden is a lifelong Catholic.
Yeah, he said he's following the radical left agenda, take away your guns, destroy your Second Amendment, no religion, no anything, hurt the Bible, hurt God, he's against God, he's against guns, he's against energy, our kind of energy. I don't think he's going to do too well in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
See what I mean about especially rambly?
And Biden responded by saying, for President Trump to attack my faith is shame. He also put out a big statement, I think, last night.
Mm-hmm.
Going further into detail, but yeah, for a man who has no religious bone in his body,
yeah,
to attack somebody else on that's
that's evangelical Christian hypocritical. I mean,
yeah, but this is Donald Trump, and the thing is,
and he's not in any way an evangelical Christian.
No,
but he's that level of hypocrite.
Yeah. And people have been saying that Trump has been getting, he's been, I mean, we've all talked about how there seem to have been signs of dementia, but it seems to be getting worse.
Yeah.
He's slurring his speech a lot. He's repeating himself a lot. He's started to, like, just stop mid-sentence and then go to something else. Like,
that's not cool.
It's either that or it's the drug abuse. It's one of those two things.
Why not both?
Probably both. Yeah. In more signs that it's still 2020.
Oh, God.
Up in Washington State, officials captured their very first murder hornet.
Yeah, so... they captured their first Asian giant hornets on July 14th in a bottle trap near Birch Bay, Whatcom County.
Mm-hmm.
Lab report confirmed it. And yeah, so they have work to do now because they have maybe a month or two around mid-September to find the nest it came from.
Yep.
Around mid-September, the queens will mate with male hornets and start reproducing new queens and workers.
Yeah.
Destroying the nest before new queens emerge and mates will prevent the spread of this invasive pest.
Yeah.
And it is a giant fucker. It's like 2 inches long.
Yeah, it's about the size of a human thumb. It's pretty big. Apparently, these things first. This is the first time they've caught one, but I guess from what the data they've gotten, it looks like these guys first showed up in December of last year.
Yeah.
So this is just the first point they've actually gotten a hold of a live specimen. So that's just a lot of fun, isn't it? All right. So
Yeah. Planning to tag hornets they get in the future and track them back to the colony.
Yeah. All right. So with that, that is the end of the serious part of the show. Now we are moving on to the entertainment portion. First and foremost, you guys know that Vince McMahon decided he wanted to start up the XFL again.
Yeah, wasn't that in the news recently?
Yeah, well, a group of people have decided to buy it from him for about $15 million. And turns out one of the individuals that were involved in buying it from him was Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's him teamed up with a group at Redbird Capital to buy the league a few hours before an auction was scheduled to begin.
Yeah.
Anyhow, $15 million, that's it.
Yeah, basically they just wanted to get this thing away from McMahon.
Yeah, because he had shut it down, basically had no value in it.
Yeah.
In the bankruptcy filing, Alpha Entertainment, the XFL's parent, lists the league with assets and liabilities in the range of about $10 to $50 million.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Uh-huh. All right.
Bananas.
Yeah. All right, next up. So you guys know that live-action Mulan movie?
Yeah.
That was supposed to come out, but then, well...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Back in May.
Yeah, well, Disney decided they're going to let it premiere on Disney Plus for a $29.99 rental fee.
That's a lot of money for a rental fee.
Yeah.
You have to have a subscription.
I haven't heard of Redbox.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a subscription and pay another $29.99 on top of that. You might get by with a trial, but that is $37 total.
Yo ho, holding a bottle of rum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll be out September 4th. Which, yeah, like, that's five times what I normally pay for a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, five times for one person, yeah, no.
Yeah.
You don't watch it five times, it's not enough.
Yeah.
They just never learn. They never fucking learn.
Plus, this movie was already kind of tainted when the lead actress sort of came out in favor of the actions of the Chinese government in Hong Kong.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, didn't do well.
Yeah. And now for some news I'm especially fucking happy about, because this was just announced this afternoon. So everybody knows I'm a fan of Has Been Hotel. It has basically been my key obsession pretty much since October of last year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this week, Vibzy came forward and announced it has been picked up by A24 Productions.
Cool.
Yes. A24... Yeah. For those of you who don't know, they are a production company who are known for doing work with people who typically are more off the beaten path. Mm-hmm. You guys have ever seen that movie Ex Machina?
Yes.
Yeah. How about Midsommar?
No, but I saw it on someone's Plex server and it really piqued my interest. I want to watch that.
A24 produced both of those films. They are known for giving their creative talents a wide berth when it comes to creative decisions. So Vibzy will not have to sacrifice anything story-wise.
Okay.
I'm guessing she's also going to be showrunner. And, that's pretty freaking amazing. You got to understand, she started working on this project way back in 2015.
Yeah.
Her and just a group of volunteer animators who worked on this thing for 5 years. And then it finally came out, well, I think it was more like 4 years because it finally came out in 2019. By the way, the pilot, last I checked, has 40 million views on YouTube.
Mm.
So it's a hit, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Also, she is still, like, doing independent projects, too. Her and her team are doing the first season of Hell of a Boss, which is the one that Brandon Rogers is also in. So, as you can imagine, I'm pretty happy.
Oh, yeah.
It was, I mean, that is a project I'm really fond of, and I'm amazed that she's managed to put through all that hard work, and it's actually paying off.
And to not, get her creation really censored.
Nope.
Yeah.
This is actually going to be AT4's first animated series that they've ever produced. So, yeah. Apparently, this all the decision for it happened back in May, mm-hmm. because well, it's not the reason people think of that is because there was a post that Izzy made on Instagram that basically was just a shot of her face with like the what the fuck look on her, and she's like, "Guys, something major happened this week. I cannot believe it's happened, but all these this hard work is finally paid off." And everybody kind of suspected, it's like, yeah, Has-Been probably got picked up. It got picked up by 824. It's probably the best case scenario.
Yeah, it sounds like.
And by the way, I just want anybody who is listening to us, just to point us out, if you're also a Has-Been fan, you're going to want to stay tuned, because at some point very soon, we're actually going to have, as guests on this show, two individuals who are involved with the production of that pilot. One of the voice actors and one of the animators. I don't know exactly what the time is yet, but it's going to be soon. So stay tuned.
Excellent.
Yeah, yes. I got scrambled a bit by the fan and other things.
Yeah. Speaking of awesome stuff, the Animaniacs are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a reboot. It's going to be set for Hulu, premiering on November 20th.
Yep.
I'm ready.
Oh, yeah. Man, if there is an old school cartoon show, that would be so relevant right now.
You know, we watch it fairly often.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stuff that is absolutely resonating now.
Yeah.
Some of it is far more topical with Bill Clinton and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, it's that type of show. So it was there's a lot of stuff that's still very much of its time, but some of it that has managed to age really well.
Yep.
Yeah. So this will be a 13-episode run.
Yeah.
They're also going to have a second season with 13 more episodes coming out sometime next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spielberg is executive producing it.
Mm-hmm. Which I think he was executive producer of the original series. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was an Amblin TV series.
Yep. I'm guessing he's so I guess if that means the Animaniacs are coming, does that also mean Pinky and the Brain will probably be coming too?
Oh god.
They're part of the logo.
Probably.
Yeah. So I guess they're gonna be in it.
I hope they have some Slappy the Squirrel episodes in there too.
Oh yeah, Slappy. God, wouldn't it be awesome if in like one random episode freaking like Freakazoid suddenly shows up?
Oh my god.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I mean the Freakazoid, I mean that was basically the same team.
Yeah, it was all the stuff that came out on the WB network, that and Batman,
mm-hmm.
the animated series. That was a really good time in animation.
Yeah. So, it's real awesome. That particular project is coming back.
You guys know that came out my freshman year of college, and we would all go hang out in the commons to watch it.
Yeah.
it was that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the Warners always did seem like a group of stoners, so...
Yeah.
It'd be perfect for the college crowd, I guess. Speaking of old school shit getting a revival, even though I kind of wish it didn't, Ren and Stimpy is going to have a revival set for Comedy Central.
Yeah, it's joints
like
there.
Ren and Stimpy, huh?
I have no problem with this as long as they keep John Kay away from it.
Well, I got good news for you.
Oh God, John Kay
What's Chris Belusi up to?
Yeah. The source tells Variety he will have no creative input.
Oh, thank you,
God.
And
received no financial remuneration from the new
series.
Oh,
sweet Mother Mary, thank you.
Okay, so when did Chris Belusi go off the deep end?
Oh, when it found out that he was a frequent sex offender.
Yeah.
Yeah, when
he was basically
they said he
getting inappropriate with teenage girls.
Yeah, groomed them and hired them into his studio.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Okay, I missed that news.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's going to be part of a block that's going to have Beavis and Butthead, Daria,
mm-hmm.
Some stuff like that. Let's see, also like Clone High and Jody.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jody's the new Daria series, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Jody, they...
Her sister.
Her. Yeah. No, yeah. Jody's not the sister, Jody's the black girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
Sorry. Too much Daria, too.
This weird revival series.
Mm-hmm.
Block. That's going to be pretty neat to see.
Yeah. To be honest, though, they shouldn't let John Kay anywhere near it anyway, because he is absolutely fucking impossible to work with.
Mm.
He is basically the reason why it took so long for new seasons of Ren and Stimpy to come out back in Nickelodeon, because he was such a massive perfectionist asshole that...
Well, the minute they tried to bring it back with, Spike?
Yeah, with the adult cartoon party, and that was a fucking disaster.
I saw that on Netflix and wasn't sure what the fuck I was watching.
Oh, that's where it came from. It did kind of confirm something about Ren and Stimpy I'd always suspected, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very much like Edgelord bait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that whole animated block Spike TV had was Edgelord bait incarnate. That was the same block that got us Stripperella.
I hated that one.
Yeah.
Just, there's no art to it.
Yeah, and that was a Stan Lee project, too.
I know. Yeah.
Had freaking Kid Rock do the theme song. That's like your first mistake. That's like strike one.
Yeah.
Also, and strike two is the fact that you got this edgy concept, and yet there's no actual nudity in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Strike three is that it's Stripperella.
It just sucked.
It was awful.
Yeah.
God fucking awful.
One thing I have never seen on any Plex server ever.
Yeah, I guess they buried the original negatives with Stan Lee when he passed away. That must have been in his will somewhere. He's like, make sure that this abomination and all memories of it are wiped from the face of the earth.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Next up, we got some Kevin Smith news. He's working on a new Green Hornet series with Wildbrain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a franchise I have not heard of in a long time.
Yeah, so they were working on a show a while back with Kevin Smith, and that kind of fell through.
Mm-hmm.
But he's kind of building this kind of off of his Green Hornet series, comic series.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be more kid-friendly. Though it seems like it's not going to be too much of a change for this, but it's going to be targeted at a family audience.
Mm-hmm.
While retaining many of the elements from his comics.
Mm-hmm.
Including Black Beauty, the high-tech car.
Yeah. They're doing some changes around here. It's contemporary. It's going to follow the basically the grown son of the original Green Hornet and the daughter of the original Kato. By the way, Kato, when he originally sort of showed up, he was very much a Japanese racial stereotype.
Hmm.
Which I guess is why they're redoing some shit and going with his daughter instead of the original Kato. Also, fun fact, you know who played Kato on the TV series?
Who?
Bruce Lee.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
In fact, if you ever watch the old Green Hornet TV series, when Bruce Lee is on there, you'll notice when he's doing his fight scenes, things will start to go slow. They'll put on the slow motion effects. And the reason is because apparently Bruce Lee's moves were actually so fast that the cameras at the time actually could not effectively pick them up.
Wow. He was something. He really was.
Yeah. Also, ignore the one comment at the bottom of this article we got linked to who says that Green Hornet just got woke.
God.
And puts Hollywood in. I think he put him in quotes, but I think he originally meant to put them in the triple parentheses because he's an idiot.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
2020!
Yay!
Yeah.
Okay.
Next up, Candyman director Nia DaCosta will be directing the sequel to Captain Marvel.
Yep.
Mm.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't really know like what happens with that until they actually start working on it.
Yeah, you gotta let all of this sort of solve itself before any real filming can begin again.
Yeah, but it seems like the reboot for Candyman is at least looking promising.
Oh yeah. And when you're thinking of like, yes, the like that movie, it's that franchise. That particular Candyman, yes.
I'm watching that shit.
Yeah. It's an African American gentleman in a fur coat with a hook hand. And he's always got a bunch of bees flying around him. That Candyman, yeah. Yeah, those movies terrified the crap out of me when I was a kid, so. Yeah, that's a Clive Barker joint, by the way. So, you knew it was especially messed up. Next up, you guys familiar with Eurovision?
Yeah, it's the TV channel on cable.
Actually, I was talking about the song contest.
Oh.
That Eurovision, yeah. Well, guess what? America is fictionally get its own, the American Song Contest.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That'll be next holiday season, 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original Eurovision Song Contest is kind of a whole neat thing that's...
Oh, it's like one of the major television events in the European Union.
Yeah, it's where they bring one musical act from each of the countries that are involved.
Yeah.
And they come together to do like a contest, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You can watch the Netflix movie to kind of get an idea of what's mm-hmm. that's all like. And yeah, they're going to do that for here. One group from each of the 50 states
mm-hmm.
to compete.
Yeah.
Then at the end, they do a whole weird voting system that's in the Eurovision Song Contest is very much full of political intrigue.
Oh yeah. Like it's not unusual for, like, I mean, but let me put it this way. There have been international incidents that have occurred at Eurovision because of accusations that certain countries were trying to game the system. Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Yep.
But the thing is, on occasion, you get some real gems out of it. Eurovision kind of infamously tends to have a lot of like kitschy acts that show up there. For example, a good example. You guys know that Moscow song? You know, Moscow, Moscow, call me dancing, love the fish. You know, that song? It was like, that was from a group that actually won the Eurovision Song Contest that year. That's the type of group that's cute. But every so often you get groups like Lordi, who are basically like fully masked up hardcore heavy metal band.
Yeah.
Like war level. And they won that year. They're from Greece. And it's funny because like one of the heads of the Greek Orthodox Church said that if they managed to go represent Sweden, the devil would win. Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe he should keep his mouth shut next time.
Yeah. And finally, last story we got for the night, ViacomCBS is planning to launch their own streaming service in early 2021.
Yeah. Don't we already have CBS All Access?
We have CBS All Access, yes. Yeah,
but this is the ViacomCBS family.
Yeah.
It's going to have major output deals with Showtime and CBS All Access,
mm-hmm.
as well as what they call a supersized selection of content from CBS, MTV, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, and some Paramount movies
mm-hmm.
as well. Yeah, they haven't announced the branding, the name and all that. But yeah, it'll launch early next year in Australia, Latin America, and the Nordics, with more international markets to follow. So it seems like they're going to keep this kind of more of a foreign service to start, at least.
That appears to be the case.
But yeah,
okay.
They're going to change CBS All Access kind of into this new thing for some of those countries that already have it.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
All righty then. I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
Yep.
Oh, man. And it's just like the weeks get more and more crazy.
They do. They truly do.
I just cannot wait for New Year's. I really can't.
Yeah.
And then you realize that years are a social construct, and it really means nothing in the scope of all this coming to an end.
There is also that.
But we can put an end to the Trump administration, and then that in and of itself will be strong.
Oh, yes. And for those who don't know, we are now under 100 days from the election.
Right.
And the whole world is looking at us.
So
thinking, what are you suckers going to do?
Yeah, so from here until November 3rd, I am going to be reminding you every day, every night, at the end of this series, good night, sleep tight, and remember to vote in November.
Yep.
And there we go.
Don't you got to do the whole thing of where to find us on Apple Podcasts?
Yeah, I do. I forgot. I'm tired and drunk. But anyway, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, Archive.org, and every little bit of craziness that you can think of. If there's a podcast aggregator that doesn't have us on there yet, just wait. We'll be on there at any moment. and of course, if you got a question or something you want us to ask or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked for you in the show notes. So, once again, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Chris Elogi, Patrick Mifflin, and Teresa Sammons, good night, sleep tight, and I'll say it again, remember to vote in November.
To be fair, tired and drunk is probably the best way to be on a Friday night.